May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A story is told of a little boy who had learnt about God from his Sunday school teacher, and was so impressed by what he had heard that he decided he wanted to meet God in person. He knew it was a long trip to where God lived, so he packed his backpack with some biscuits, some water, some cakes, and he took two cups with him, a spare one, just in case God was thirsty when he met him. When his mom asked him where he was going, he simply stated, "I'm going to meet God." So she watched him as his little legs carried him down the footpath, thinking he won't be long until he's back. He hadn't gone far from home at all when he saw an elderly woman sitting on a seat in a park watching the pigeons. The boy sat down next to her and opened up his backpack. He poured himself a drink from his water bottle when he noticed that the lady looked a little bit hungry, so he offered her a biscuit. She gratefully accepted it and smiled at him. Her smile was so wonderful that he wanted to see it again, so he offered her a cup of water as well. Once again, she smiled at him, and the little boy was overjoyed. Her smile was so wonderful, he just wanted to revel in it again and again. They sat there for ages watching the pigeons eating and smiling without saying a word. It was starting to get a little late and starting to get a little bit dark, and the boy could see his mom just up the road still watching, so he thought he had better go home. He got up to leave, but before he had gone no more than a few steps, he turned round and ran back to the old woman, giving her a big hug. She gave him her biggest smile ever. When the boy met up with his mum, she noticed the look of extreme joy on his face. She asked, "So what's made you so happy today, then?" He replied enthusiastically, "I had lunch with God." Before his mother could respond, he added, "And you know what, mum? She's got the most beautiful smile in the whole wide world." Meanwhile, the elderly woman, also radiated with joy, returned to her home at the retirement village. Her neighbor was stunned by the look of peace on her face, and she asked, "Mark, what's made you so happy today?" She replied, "Ha, this afternoon, I ate biscuits and had a cup of water in the park with God." Before the neighbor could say something about her mental health, she added, "You know, he is much younger than I had ever expected him to be." I'm sure most of us would agree that that's quite a cute little story, but it's a little bit more than that. It's a commentary on what Jesus is telling us in his parable about the king who passes judgment on those who will be alive in his eternal kingdom and those who will be excluded. He says to those who are being rewarded with the joy of eternal happiness, "I was hungry and thirsty, and you gave me food and drink. I was a stranger, naked, sick, and in prison, and you took care of me." Those who are listening to the king reply, "But when did we do these things to you, Your Highness?" And the queen responds with those well-known words, "I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least important of these followers of mine, you did it for me." Jesus' story reminds us that we see the face of Jesus in the faces of the people around us, and we become partners with him as we seek to minister to them in the same way that he has ministered to us all throughout our lives, particularly in times of need. You see, when we are joined with Christ, when we become one with him through his death and resurrection, when he claims us as his own adopted children, when he fills us again with his love and forgiveness and the power of the Holy Spirit at Holy Communion, a special bond is created between Jesus and us. What is important to him becomes very important to us, or at least it should do. What values and attitudes are important to him should become important to us. In the Gospels, we read how Jesus went out of his way to help the gravely ill, the incurable, the dying, the ruthless and the greedy, the helpless and the voiceless. He spoke and did things that gave assurances to the lonely, the depressed, the sad, the guilty and the excluded. He didn't look the other way or walk by. He didn't pretend that such people weren't in the crowd around him. He had time for even the least person in the crowd, no matter what was going on or how busy he was. Yes, of course he got flack when he hugged the leper and the unclean and the sinner. For him, the least important person was the most important person in that crowd. This follows that rather strange saying of Jesus, that in the kingdom of God, the first will be last and the last will be first. The great and important people have the resources to take care of themselves most of the time. It's the least important that Jesus is concerned about and how they will survive the tragedies of life. Other people might regard them as insignificant. They are people who are easily forgotten, people who are easy to ignore, those that we walk past in the street at times, those that we see begging because they're homeless, the drug addicts, those who suffer from mental health, those that we may not want to speak to. But this parable has nothing to do with getting into heaven by doing a few good deeds for the underprivileged. It is about how our faith in Jesus and our worship penetrates and is interwoven with the ordinary, everyday things of our lives. It's about how we, as brothers and sisters of Christ, uniquely join to him, take on his values and what is important to him. Our relationship with Jesus infiltrates every moment of every day. The love of Christ makes us eager to do something for the least important people of this world. The stories that Jesus tells us about his return and the last judgment aren't intended to scare the living daylights out of us, or to force us into doing good things for other people out of fear. Of course not. But no doubt, as most of us hear these words of the King, I was hungry and thirsty, a stranger and needed clothes, sick and in prison, but you chose to ignore me. We reflect on the times when we have done just that, or when our attitude to the least important has not been anything like the attitude of the Jesus that we love and know. And as we reflect, do we feel guilty? Do we feel guilty at all? Well, that's a question only you can answer. But we are called to resolve that by being more attentive to the love of Christ and the compassionate and less critical love that we should show. This parable does all these things, but just as importantly, it reminds us of the heart of Jesus and how he feels about the least among his people. It reminds us of the unique and special connection we have with him through the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. Our values, our attitudes are reshaped, and our thinking about the least important people in our world is also changed. A while back, I happened to be sitting on the wall outside Tesco's on Bristol Road, just waiting for someone to come and pick me up. I didn't know who it was that was picking me up, by the way. And I was privileged to overhear a conversation between two little boys who sat just a few feet up from me. And they must have been about, one of them must have been about 11 or 12, and the other was about 8, I guess. And the younger boy, just let's call him Joe for sake of the name, seemed to always be in trouble from what he was saying. He was always getting into scrapes with other children during playtime at school. He was put into detention after school quite a bit, and he seemed to be a bit unpredictable in the classroom. And the two boys were sitting, swinging their legs on the wall, and one had a stick with him, waiting for someone to come out for Tesco's. But they were sitting there, and the older boy was listening very intently as Joe just prattled on and on about anything that popped into his head. Every now and then, Joe would get up and walk around the wall because he couldn't stay still very long, but kept on talking to his older friend. So at a little bit of a distance, I admired the older boy's patience. He just sat there, listening intently, nodding every now and again. I was sure this would end soon when the older boy got a little bit fed up with the younger boy's rattling on. But suddenly, the little boy stopped and gently grabbed the older boy's arm and turned him towards him. And he said to him, "Why are you so nice to me?" The older boy stopped and looked at him. "Well, why shouldn't I be nice to you?" "Well," said Joe, "it's just that a lot of other kids aren't nice to me and they bully me in school." Now, whether the older boy realized it or not, or even if he was a Christian or not, although I do know that he and his parents did go to church because I recognized him, he was doing exactly what Jesus is describing here in this parable when he talks about the least important, the kindness, the patience, the friendship, the encouragement that he was showing to Joe that day is what Jesus meant when he said, "I tell you, whenever you did this for one of the least important of these followers of mine, you did it for me." Or we could look at it this way. The older boy was being like Christ to Joe. He may not have even given it another thought, but he was listening intently. He was giving Joe the space to explore what was going on in his life. And he was smiling and encouraging. You see, there you have the real point of what Jesus is on about here in this parable. Making a difference. It seemed that no one had ever listened to Joe before. And just sitting on that wall talking to his friend made such a difference. Jesus' love for us has made a world of difference in our lives. We would be stuck in all kinds of guilt and feelings of hopelessness and despair as we reflect on how often we fail to see Jesus in the face of those who do need our help. We would simply give up looking after others and simply look after ourselves. But Jesus has made a difference to the way we see other people and has made it possible for us to boldly step out to be Christ to others around us. Jesus wants his love in us to make a difference in other people's lives, not just those people we like, but for the least important, the people others ignore. The Holy Spirit encourages and urges us on and makes us bold in making a difference in the lives of others. We need to listen to him speaking. Martin of Tours lived in the 4th century. He was a Roman soldier and was preparing to be baptized. One cold wintry day, as he was entering a city, a beggar stopped him and asked for assistance. Martin had no money, but the beggar was shivering with cold. Martin gave what he had. He took off his soldier's cloak, worn and frayed as it was, cut it in two, and gave half of it to the beggar. That night, Martin had a dream. In the dream, he saw Jesus wearing half a Roman soldier's cloak. One of the angels said to him, "Master, why are you wearing that battered old cloak? Who gave it to you?" Jesus answered softly, "My servant Martin gave it to me." We see Jesus every day. May God grant to each and every one of us the eyes to see Jesus in the face of the people around us, ears to hear Jesus sighing and weeping in the people we meet. May God give us hearts filled with compassion and love to comfort Jesus in the sad and the depressed. May God give us willing hands to serve Jesus as we help those who are finding life's journey tough, particularly during these unprecedented times.